For streaming, creating, gaming, and more, power your passions for less during Dell's exceptional cyber savings event. Enjoy up to $400 off stunning laptops like the XPS, along with high-performance desktops and next-level Alienware systems, redefining what's possible with 10th-gen Intel Core processors. Shop special prices on top-brand electronics and accessories, plus enjoy free shipping on everything. Don't forget to ask for Intel when you call 1-800-BUY-DELL. That's 1-800-BUY-DELL.
Ty really took one for the team there.
Oh. Yeah, he did. Legend. You're a legend.
Stuff of legends.
It is November 27th, the day after, well, we were recording this less than 5 minutes after Ty just got branded last night due to the Thanksgiving thank you sale that commenced yesterday at 7 p.m., where we sold over 10,000 items. The original goal was 25,000 items. Mm-hmm. First day, the sale kicked off. Quick realization.
That's a lot.
We're never going to get there, so we put a $10,000 limit on it. We hit that, blew through that. Somebody had to get branded. It was intense in the office.
It was. Oh, yeah.
We thought about the brand a month or so ago, and then we didn't think about it again until about 2 hours before said brand happened yesterday. And this, I've never seen the office get the way it got. Everybody was quiet. People were starting to slam whiskeys. Gumpy's here like a fucking idiot threw himself right into the fire.
Well, that was wild.
The real issue was we left the office for a quick minute today, and then we came back, and we had the brand, and we tried it on a wooden table, and it almost set the table on fire.
Almost burnt the whole fucking office
and
down.
All of us looked at each other like, what the fuck are we doing?
Oh, no, 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 we said. This is a real deal. But then my lady comes in here with our CFO Phil Maine's wife and kids, and they look at the brand and they go, that's it? And they're like, we burn ourselves with hair curling things every single day. I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, not the same.
Bullshit.
Not the same.
Not the same. Not the same. This is third degree burns that Ty just got. Ty,
oh boy.
During the live lottery of who was getting the brand, it appeared as if you knew you were getting it the entire time.
Yeah, from I told Connor at like 2:30 today, I knew it was going to be me.
How come?
Because I had a flight from Boston to Indianapolis this morning at 4:45, hit some nasty turbulence in the air.
Thought you were falling out of the sky.
Exactly. Thought I was going to die. Typically, only one good thing can happen to you in a day. I didn't die, so I knew the brand was coming.
Did anyone else pray?
I did, actually. I went in the bathroom and said
so
a prayer,
did I.
Yeah.
I did. So, like, I felt a shit coming on. So
what happened?
Like, I went in and said a prayer.
To a prayer.
It's like, hey, God, watch over me here. Make sure I don't get this fucking
brand.
I'm
closer to God than you are because I prayed that you were going to get it.
But I was like, I was like, I can't shit on live internet while getting the brand. So I went and forced one out. But while I was shitting, I prayed that I would not get one.
Hey, that's like football players before a big game.
Oh, yeah.
They go into a stall, take a shit, pop a prayer.
I also do that when my girlfriend's late, too.
I didn't do much praying. But when it was down to me and Ty, I knew I was probably not going to get it. Because Ty just has terrible luck.
When I heard Diggs start snickering, too, when he pulled it out, I was like, all right, it's for sure me. There's no way he'd be doing that if it was Pat. So,
well, I appreciate you guys. We have an incredible conversation today about me calling a game. I think you're going to enjoy that. Ty Schmidt is very much for the brand. This is something I'll remember whenever Christmas bonuses come around. I'll have to do that. Appreciate that. Appreciate everybody listening for buying merch from store.patmcashow.com. We sold too much, to be honest. It's way too much. We shouldn't sell that much. You guys do the best things imaginable to this small group of idiots in this small business world. Gumpy, I honestly have no idea why you put your name in there.
Hardcore.
Well, I didn't want to be a guy sitting around all day if you're not involved. And when I wasn't involved in the morning, I could feel the tension, and I was kind of laughing, and I just didn't want to be that guy. You got to be a part of it.
So you're like, give me that paper. Let me sign my fucking life away. Phil Maine's put together a contract that was like, you can't sue us now. Your kids can't sue us later. We ain't getting sued for nothing. And I was reading the terms. I was like, I almost don't want to sign this. What if something terrible goes wrong?
I've never seen Pat nervous in my entire life, except for last night.
When that picnic table almost went up in flames, I was like, holy shit, this is a real thing.
I think Foxy was most nervous, But like Todd, when we even came up with this idea, was like, "Fuck yeah, I'll get the brand." And then like 30 minutes before, he was like,
"Whiskey."
He's like, "Oh,
it got real."
Todd was not real all quick. In.
I was like, it was like remind me like when I was on the bus going to boot camp. You're all joking around until you get right up to the gate. You're like, "Oh fuck!" Oh,
fuck. Smoke came off of his leg. Smoke came off of his leg.
Yeah, his little Iowa hairs burned off. He's gonna have to deal with that for like the next week. He's...
Yeah, it's a little tendy right now.
Your lady's a nurse, right?
Yeah, she's not happy. Not happy with it.
Not only is that, she's a burn nurse.
She is. Yeah.
It couldn't have happened to a better human, to be honest.
That's true.
Well, I appreciate you, man.
Yep, thank you.
And I appreciate all the listeners. We're going to have an incredible show for you, and we're coming to you live from the MyBookie.ag studio. Sure, watching football is fun, but it's more entertaining when you have some action on the game. Ladies, guys, you've heard me talking about this for weeks and weeks. And some of you are still on the sidelines. Whether you're an expert or rookie, you should be betting at MyBookie. Mm-hmm. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, like playing the numbers on roulette, you can create a big-ass parlay. Mm-hmm. You pick three bets to win. If you hit all three, you can turn $100 into $600. There's so much to bet on. College basketball. Mm-hmm. The NFL is in mid-swing right now. Yeah. We got bowl games coming up. Yeah. We got championship games to come up. There's politics stuff, I'm assuming, reality TV, wrestling, beat Pat McAfee. I think I'm taking on an IKEA table this Thursday. You can literally bet on everything at MyBookie.ag. That's why they're the greatest gambling site on earth. I recommend them because I trust them. MyBookie has been in business for years. They've got great online reviews, and their mobile site is easy to use. Sign up this week, and MyBookie will give you a 50% deposit bonus on to jumpstart your bankroll. It's a great way to bank even more money when you win. Also, make sure you follow at BetMyBookie on Twitter. They personally respond to every mention in DM. Not to mention, they've been giving away more than $10,000 in free money to their followers this football season. Don't miss out. Follow them at BetMyBookie. Right now, if you use promo code Pat, you get a 50% bonus on your first sign-in.
That's not bad.
You're already winning.
You're already winning.
And by the end of this week, we'll give you all the picks to win. By the way, I'm back in an upswing in the gambling world.
Nice,
I'm back in an upswing. The Green Bay Packers, you'll hear, fucked me kind of a little bit later. Mm-hmm. I had an incredible weekend cooking until that happened. But I feel very good about gambling, and I only gamble at one place, and that's mybookie.ag. MyBookie.ag. Promo code Pat. 50% bonus. Greatest gambling site on earth.
The best.
By far.
On earth.
By far.
Bar none.
I like them a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we landed on Mars.
We trust them.
What happened?
We landed on Mars today.
What yesterday?
Yesterday.
Who did?
America.
Americans?
Elon?
No, he lives there. No, some we landed some rover, some robot on Mars so we could go inside of Mars to look what's inside of Mars because we know what's inside of Mars.
I've been saying this whole goddamn time, and I'm not sure if I'm the first one. I'm sure there's other people that have said this, but... Mm. I feel pretty good about it. I mean, I created Gritty for the Flyers. Mm-hmm. I've done a lot of things. I've always said that the aliens live inside the planets.
Yep. Oh,
yeah. That's why we don't see them. They always get pictures of the outside. No, no, it's biodome. They're inside, cuzzy.
Well, we about to find out.
We about to find
out. Nice and cozy in there.
I still wish Elon Musk was in there and not whoever's running it.
He might be.
They're going to bring something home.
Absolutely.
Oh,
something
yeah.
bad
something
coming
end,
home.
Yeah.
Who you think bad?
Like a disease. Like if they
some
bring
creature
a disease.
That enters your nose, comes out your chest.
Oh,
something.
I hate when they do that. They do that all the time.
Sam and I were very high the other night.
Oh.
And she talked about this artificial intelligence like starting to scare her. Uh-huh. Like these robots.
It should.
Care. Why, though? We control them.
No,
that's what you think.
But they can learn.
There were a bunch of yes, they can. There were a bunch of Facebook AIs who created their own language, and Facebook had to shut them down.
What are they talking about? Well, they're just being on computers.
They're talking about us.
They're talking about whatever they want.
They start to think they're real, and they adapt and they learn, and then
they had this podcast about finding Richard Simmons. It was nuts.
Yeah.
Everyone listened to it for some reason. No one knew what they were talking about.
They have three laws and
that kicked us out of the number one spot for one bullshit.
Three laws. Yeah, that was fucked up.
It was. I don't fully understand how these things can even exist. I think you guys are all watching movies and freaking out.
Oh yeah, because we create them. And we give them their own intelligence.
Yeah, but you ever seen that one that can run and jump?
Oh, once that guy figures it out,
that thing's got
fucked.
No leverage. Though. You just tap it, that thing's falling over with the quickness.
Oh, the new updates, it doesn't fall anymore.
Yeah. Oh, updates.
I saw it.
They get the premium Wi-Fi. We're the dumbest. Guys.
Yeah.
This holiday season.
Yep, so it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was just saying that this holiday season.
This one right now that we're in.
Not that we're in. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This upcoming holiday season?
Oh, I got you.
The upcoming holiday season.
The current holiday state.
Current.
This one.
You can watch Santa Claus now.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You can watch a Grinch, my Grinch, Jim Carrey Grinch.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to watch the new one?
I've heard it's good.
I actually have heard it's good, too.
I've heard it's
it
good.
Is. It is good. It's nice.
Yeah, but you're a Canadian.
I don't think you can, it's animated, though. Like, I wouldn't compare it to the Jim Carrey Grinch.
You would compare it to the original cartoon.
Exactly.
And it's good?
It's a new take on it. It's really good.
Pharrell, who made the Who shoes, he did all the soundtrack, right?
Really?
Yeah, he did the soundtrack. And then an English guy is the Grinch. And they wanted him to be English, and he said, no, no, that's not the Grinch.
Correct.
So I respect that.
Human method.
Cumberbatch.
Yeah, Benedict.
Oh, he just loves showing off.
Yeah, yeah, he does.
He does.
He's like, yeah, I'm super British, but I don't have to be.
Uh-huh. That would be nice.
Yeah, yeah, I could do it.
Voiceover. I asked my agents about voiceover gigs.
Yeah, okay. There you go.
Nice. Like, how does this work? And they were like, well, first you have to have a notable name.
Okay.
I was like,
got it.
What's that mean? What that means is we're nowhere near that right now. I called a game on Fox Sports 1, though. I said.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, yeah, yeah, maybe one day. But this holiday season, as you rack your brain for the perfect gift, maybe you're thinking a brand for your producer.
Okay.
You know, maybe the guy that produces your show. Yeah. You're thinking, I'll gift him a brand.
That's smart.
That's not a bad idea, but I think we found the perfect gift. And I have some tips for treating yourself and everyone on your list to mind-blowing comfort from Tommy John,
yeah.
The revolutionary clothing company that's redefining comfort. Tommy John has the most comfortable underwear on the planet, keeping men neat and nestled and women penny line and wedgie-free. Both their men's and women's underwear sport a no-wedgie guarantee. Comfortable stay-put waistbands and a range of fabrics that are luxuriously soft, feather-light, moisture-wicking, breathable, and designed to move with you... Not against
Ty
you.
Ty's going to need this.
Ty, you're going to want your underwear to move with you for a long time.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah, that means no bunching, no rolling, and no riding up on that brand on your leg.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're still on the fence wondering if Tommy John would be a memorable gift, think of all the adjusting and tugging you'll never have to endure or see again from you or your friends. You'll have that friend that's got to adjust. Give the gift of mind-blowing comfort this holiday season with limited edition holiday gifts from Tommy John. Save 20% on your first order at TommyJohn.com/America. That's TommyJohn.com/America for 20% off.
I'm buying Connor Tommy John underwear.
I might need some.
His underwear.
I might need a couple.
He's wearing a diaper right now.
they are polo, okay? These are polo boxer briefs, my friend.
They're not.
They're very legit.
Who's your grandpa's?
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, family heirloom. Give me a break.
They're yellowish.
Pat? Will you show, Pat?
They're not even white anymore.
I missed something. I went to the bathroom.
Stand up.
Let's see these
Everybody
things.
Earlier, before we were doing the brand, was preparing for where they were going to put the brand. Yep. I come out of the bathroom. They're like, wait till you see what homeless Connor wears.
Are those from Jerusalem?
What are those?
They're polo.
No.
Can you move over for the camera?
They're literally just, they're all white boxers.
They used to be white.
True. There are those.
What
little.
Did you say?
So what I think happened was the
Will
new.
Will you pull your pants up?
I was just showing.
Jesus Christ.
I think what happened was the new black jeans.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know how when you get new clothes, they kind of rub off on the other ones?
Oh, so it's changing the white.
Exactly. It's making it a little darker. It's giving it a little shade, if you will.
Wearing white underwear, aggressive decision. That's how I know you're young.
Yeah. I don't know, 10 years?
That's how I know you're young right now. Wait until that booty hole wants to speak.
White underwear, white socks. They don't exist in my
no
life.
No way. Right. I'm all black, cuz.
Well, I switch up the socks. Hey, by the way, one white, one black. Who knows?
By the way, things are looking up for you, Connor. You too, Zito, Foxy. The pub's got a lot of members right now.
Thank you to all the members that purchased a shirt this Thanksgiving weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, we're huge now.
Massive.
Not big enough.
Easy.
We really appreciate the love. Think of it, we went from
three to whatever it is. I don't even know the number.
I think there's 500 members of the pub at this point.
Not only were there three. Right. The first time the pub was brought up, we were laughed at, and here we are selling merch.
Hey, but we do got to thank all of you in the room.
Oh, absolutely.
You guys are all a part of this. We thank you as well.
Listen, the house is going to get condemned. We had to take advantage of this as much as we could. That house is about to topple inside of itself. I took my first time in there. You guys said there were some pub grades. The only pub grade is that the floor still stands.
It was a little dirty when we went in there.
Yeah, it was.
It was a little dirty. It's the Monday after a long weekend. Yeah. I think we can all agree.
A lot of beer pong.
You can hear me. It was a long weekend. But, you know, there were many pub grades. And the floor is just one of the many obstacles that we face.
Yeah.
We try to walk downstairs and you're literally, it's like you got to be like the red panda on the stilt thing to get downstairs. These steps are like 2 inches wide.
Our property manager said they're going to replace those 3 months ago.
Yeah, it didn't happen.
By the way, I bought a pub shirt.
Did you?
I did. I am a fucking
club. Wow. Welcome to the pod, Pat. Welcome.
I did
it's great to have you.
You would think with our business we'd be able to get this stuff. Nope. But no, we have to buy them. Our numbers added to the 10,000. Yeah.
I mean, we don't even have a pub shirt yet.
Yeah.
Founders. You should have bought one like the rest of us.
If it means anything, I don't have one either. Yeah, right? Yeah. I mean, I don't think anybody in this room has a pub shirt yet.
No, not yet.
They'll get here within. By the way, the new supplier we're with has been turning things around pretty quickly.
There's a there's someone I got tweeted today.
Has actually, their stuff.
Yesterday already has it.
Yeah, somebody had their stuff, I think, on Friday somehow.
Yeah.
Wow. I think it was like in the area where we're shipping out. So right now we are sampling a supply company to get through Black Friday here. Mm-hmm. They're a good group of people. They seem to have done great. We were originally with a company called Printful, mm-hmm. which was out of Lithuania. Which, if there was any customer service issues, there was no response. So we had to move to another supplier. We've enjoyed their business thus far, but there has been a lot of offers presented to us in the very recent future, mm-hmm. as in yesterday. So we'll see what happens. But the merch business is one that I am so grateful for the people who listen to this show.
Yes, absolutely.
You keep our small business alive.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's because of you, the people that listen to us, laugh with us, follow us on the internet, that I got a chance to do a game on Saturday, mm-hmm. on Fox Sports 1. And we dove into quite a vitamined up conversation earlier about it. Here it is. Boys, I got to call a game this weekend.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
I'll tell you what. We walked in there. First of all, let's do the whole weekend. So I fly to Dallas. Mm-hmm. Okay? Right. Black Friday. I fly mm-hmm. to Dallas. Yep. I land there. Like noonish or so, I get the rental car. Everybody that I go work for gets rental cars. By the way, they got me a larger, a full size.
You got a good one. Oh,
nice. I got a full size.
Good for them.
I got a full size. I got an SUV. Shout out Fox Sports for getting me a Dodge SUV.
They got money. They got money.
And there was tint on the windows too, man.
Ooh.
When we get that minivan for the WWE, normally it's like a goddamn magnifying glass with the windows. It's very difficult, but it was pretty. I got a Dodge SUV. Dodge is making some plays, by the way. Mm-hmm. I'm the type of guy that shouldn't be in a rental car, by the way, because I almost bought a minivan a couple times now for having it. And then a Toyota sedan in Los Angeles, I drove that thing into the fucking dirt.
Literally into a curb.
Literally into a curb. Yeah. Driving like a rental. Did that for sure. This time had a Dodge SUV. It was very nice. Mm-hmm. Very, very nice. Drive over to the hotel. Super yuppie place. I'm talking next level yuppie resort here.
So a nice hotel.
Oh, very nice. Uh-huh. With a spa, the whole kit and caboodle. Yeah, the whole thing.
Did you hit that up?
I was thinking about, didn't have enough time. Mm-hmm. Didn't even get to eat. This seems to be the trend of my trips.
Never eat.
Never eat. Everything's just bing, 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 bing. There's no food here. You're there. You're there. You're here. You're there. You're there. Bing, bang, boom. Gone. Unless you want to wake up like 5 a.m. to eat, which I am not going to do. I am going to steal those sleep hours. Mm-hmm. We go to a production meeting. That's the first time where I meet everybody. We drive in Sean Kelly. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Sean Kelly was the play-by-play guy. He's from New Orleans. Mm-hmm. New Orleans. Oh. Yeah. He's the New Orleans Pelicans play-by-play guy and the New Orleans Saints play-by-play guy.
Yeah.
He has his kid with him. It's me, AJ, Sean, and this guy's kid. He's 18 years old. He was he's a young buck. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we drive to the Baylor Hotel.
Okay.
I've never been in these before. I'd never been in the media coach, media player. I'd never been asked to been in one. I've never, as a player, I was never asked to come talk to the media the day before a game. So I have no clue what to expect. I walk in there, obviously unprepared. Sean Kelly has this full notebook in front of him. AJ Hawk's got that big ass card that you see them with their name, everybody's names on it with a pen and pencil. I got a sleeveless on and jorts, and I'm walking in there. I got like my vape pen in my pocket. I grab a cup of tea and I sit down at the table. So the first guy that walks in, Charlie Brewer, right? Uh-huh. They're asking him all these quarterback questions like this, that, and this, that. And I just start opening up a little bit. I'm like, Baylor, a good time? You have a good time at Baylor? And he was like, yeah. I was like, and I noticed on his hand, he has a mustache, a fake mustache tattoo on his middle finger.
No way.
Yeah. So I see that down there. I'm like, you have a good time at Baylor? You have a good time, don't you? And he was like, yeah, I have a pretty good time down here. I was like, yeah. Is that mustache going to make an appearance in the game? He was like, we'll see. So I turned it into like an interview. Yeah.
Right.
Like I just turned it into an interview, full conversation with the kid. Kid was very cool, daps me up, goes and walks out. And they have their notes down and stuff like that. And I was like, if it was good enough in a conversation, I'll remember it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm they're like, why aren't you taking notes? They say, I'm like, well, if it's good enough, I'll remember it. If it was a good enough quote, I will remember it. Last question I asked him was, what's your favorite play? And he said, any pass? I was like, which one though? He said, the deep ball. Cuzzy, he said. And then gave me things. So I knew immediately that I like this kid more than everybody else on the field because he dropped a cuzzy to me. Yeah. That means this guy knows who I am. This guy knows my thing. I am going to put over, in the wrestling terms, Charlie Brewer. So if you see at the beginning of the game, I introduced Charlie Brewer. It's called a quarterback walkout. I learned a lot of these things, which I assume you learn in 4 years of broadcast school or in that broadcast boot camp. And I put his little ass over. I was like, this is my motherfucking dude. So we go through the whole interviews. Coach Rule comes in. Uh-huh. He's sweating. He's sick. He's talking about all these things, and they're all taking these tedious notes, just huge notes. And I look at him, and I go, what type of coach? You a hard-assed coach or what? He said, well, I'm not the most fun coach, that's for sure. And I was like, what do you mean by that? He was like, well, last week at halftime, I actually had to tell him to have fun because everybody was too tight trying to make a play, blah, blah, blah. He said, I believe there's a couple things you can control. You can control your effort. Mm-hmm. You can control the pre-snap stuff. And if you do that, I'm not mad at you. But if you don't, I am tough to deal with. I was like, perfect, thank you. So the entire game, all I was trying to get in was that this dude was a hard ass. The entire game, I'm just trying to get into Matt Rule was a hard ass.
So you're going beyond and bringing, you're humanizing these figures on the field.
So in my head, that's what I thought. Right. So all these interviews that I have with these people, in my head, I'm just like, all right, I'm just trying to make them human. I don't really give a fuck about the X's and O's because personally, I don't know, to be honest. I have no idea what's going on out there. So then we get to game day. AJ Hawk lets me drive his rental car. We get lost. Dallas police, by the way, not the nicest. We were half... Maybe like, I was going to say half field, like 50 yards away from the parking lot that we were supposed to park in, the media parking lot, but it was closed for emergency vehicles only. This is 8 a.m. Mm-hmm. The game's at 11 a.m. there. There's nobody around us except for us. We got one cop, hand out like fucking Texas Ranger right in the middle. And you could drive. You could drive through there, but they have it closed just for emergency vehicles. We're one of only 30 people that are at this stadium at this point. I'm like, yeah, we're parking in that one right there. He's like, not today. You got to go out, around. So we had to drive all the way around Jerry World. Okay, I get car sick because we're driving in a circle. Go in. We finally find our spot. Then finding the booth was its own nightmare because that stadium is so large. We were in the Spanish radio booth at one point, which is on the other side of the goddamn stadium. We were on the field before we made it to the booth because we were just taking wrong turns. And then the game got started. Yeah. And I ain't never been more excited in my life. I had no idea how it was going to work. I knew nothing of how Sean Kelly was going to work. Sean Kelly did well, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
He was very good. Great. Very good at give and take with you.
I don't think at the first little bit, I'm not sure he knew what was coming.
I don't think he did either.
So the play-by-play guys, I didn't know this. They bring their own spotters. Mm-hmm. So his spotter is his friend from New Orleans named Kyle. Okay. Big fan of the show. Mm-hmm. Great. So Kyle, shout out Kyle. Big fan of yours. Whenever he met me the night before, he was like, I hope somebody gets branded. And I hope it's Diggs.
Oh, no.
That was when I knew. I was like, oh, this guy's a real fan. All right. Everybody wants Diggs to get branded.
Fuck Kyle.
I understand. You might not like Kyle, but we all like Kyle. But he's his spotter, so he brings him. And then he has his own stat guy named Allen, who's from New Orleans, who he brought. So, like, the play-by-play guy.
The whole team.
They're all in the room with you guys?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. They come in. So it was very interesting. I'm like, I got to get a play-by-play guy so I can just bring my squad in the fucking booth. Imagine Diggs up there. I think it's 24. Because the spotter does a lot.
I have eagle eyes.
Well, the spotter had binoculars. He points at like who's making the tackle. That's how the play-by-play person knows without seeing. It was all very interesting. But we do that first open, you know, where he's reading over the drone shot of AT&T Stadium. And we did it beforehand, right? So we pre-taped that because I think they're all very scared of me being live. I guess that's like the hardest part, they call it. AJ Hawk was like, if we can get through this open, we'll be able to do anything. And for me, I thought the open would be the easiest part because this is the only thing where I know what I'm talking about.
Right.
So the first time through, Sean, there's a couple blips finally. I'm the last one. So you remember when we did that flip cup thing? Where we were trying to make it on one flip.
Yeah.
And I was the last guy. So you guys can fuck up a couple times.
Right.
And before me getting even a single rep, right? You know, because you're trying to like do it one. Uh-huh. But we're going back. So I hadn't even got a shot yet. We're on like take four by this point. So now they get theirs right. And now it's up to me. I'm like, if I fuck this up, we got to go back to take five. I was like, fuck this up. As AJ's talking, I'm like, I ain't gonna fuck. What are you talking about? This is what you're supposed to do. You ain't gonna fuck this up. And then AJ finishes, and I'm like, well, here's my first time speaking on a goddamn network. Let's go for it. And I just from that point forward, I had never been more comfortable doing something. I was so comfortable.
So you enjoyed it a lot.
And I don't think I should have been. You know what I mean?
No, like, I think you should have been. I thought it was obviously a way different dynamic than you get. Like, there was a show within the game for the first time.
Yes.
And it was a game, unless you live in West Texas, or, you know, it doesn't mean a lot to the rest of the country. But this was entertaining for anyone.
Yes.
Whether you knew anything about Baylor or Texas Tech or not, you and AJ, boy, AJ was great at feeding softballs.
He's quick, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, man.
He's good.
He fed you perfectly.
Honestly, I thought his big CTE ass would be slow. He was fat, because every time I talk to him, always very comedic, right? Because he has a dry sense of humor. He takes shots at me. I take shots at him. We have a very good relationship. Very lucky that AJ was the other guy in there with me. I don't think they did that on purpose, by the way.
Really?
I don't think Fox. I think it just kind of happened, and it just happened to be magical. But AJ was quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was.
And watching him work in there was a lot of fun.
Oh,
man.
Him being your straight guy, it's a good combination. FS1 needs to think about it.
I know.
Sean, I thought it was pretty funny too when Sean like started laughing at you guys. He couldn't control it.
Because I think he's a very serious broadcaster. Uh-huh. You know what I mean?
Sure.
When he was asking these questions to Coach Rule, Coach Snow, who's the D coordinator, who's been there for 42, or been coaching for 42 years, by the way. That's a long fucking time. Hates RPOs, by the way. Doesn't think it's real football, but hey, what are you going to do? But when he was asking these questions, you could tell he's obviously a very serious broadcaster. I mean, he's a professional broadcaster. But whenever I finally got him to crack, I felt so good. I was like, yeah, welcome, Sean. Welcome to the show here, Sean. I just wanted people to feel as if they're watching with us. And I think that's the thing that I've learned from watching football for the last year and a half is it's these commentators never think like, hey, we're watching football with you.
Uh-huh.
It's not really like we're not watching you. We're watching with you.
Right.
And I just wanted to make it a party in there. I really did.
When you brought up Kingsbury's gray pants during an injury timeout, and Sean goes, critiquing fashion during an injury timeout, Pat, huh?
I said, well, obviously, I hope the guy's okay. I said, well, obviously, I hope the guy's okay, Sean. But that is Cliff's decision. And him going with gray pants, I thought was an aggressive one. Because he could have went all black.
And then AJ was like, I think that's Under Armour's decision, Pat.
It's not, though, by the way. That is the coach's decision. I only know that because Sean McVay's crew looks much nicer than everybody else's. And Chuck got to pick what the coaches wore, too.
Yeah.
So that is the coach's decision. And in my head, you're Cliff Kingsbury. You're very attractive. You have black and red.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is an alley-oop to look good. Yeah. I mean, that is what we're all looking for. So in warm-ups, I noticed that. Whenever Cliff walked out, oh, that's a handsome son of a... Those pants are terrible. Why are we not wearing black pants? And I was like, well, that's going to get mentioned at some point in my head. And
then how many times did you catch yourself wanting to say something, but then going a different direction? Because you started talking about the Italian punter, and you said he brings a lot of great things to the table. He likes great food, and I know you wanted to keep going, and then you just kind of steered it more towards, well, yeah, big ball. He big balls. He got big balls.
Yeah, I did. Organized crime was right on deck.
Yeah, I
know. Organized crime was right on deck. It's a lot of, it's just like when I do the WWE Network stuff. It's a full mental gymkhana, basically, so I can not swear in there or say anything that crosses the line. Pissed off the Big 12, though. Did get a...
Why?
A lot of people dressed like seats here today.
Yeah. I guess that one.
Who?
I guess that one.
The actual Big 12 reached out?
Yeah.
Or?
So I guess obviously every conference has somebody that watches the broadcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got a little mention in my ear from the producer, Jesse, who we will be talking to today. You might have already heard that interview. He goes, hey, I thought it was funny, but try not to take a shot at how little there are people. And there's a talk back button, right? I'm like, why? What happened? You're like, Big 12 wasn't excited about it. The people dressed like seats line. I was like, oh, okay, sounds good. And in my head, though, I was like, the internet's loving that one.
Yeah,
if it means anything, I was checking the action on it. But it was...
Did you sneak every word in?
What's that?
Every word you wanted to bring into the broadcast?
I didn't use bamboozle. I was going to try to use the word bamboozle. That was really one I wanted to drop in there. Somebody got bamboozled, but
did you say matriculate like a drive?
Yeah, I did.
It got AJ. I could tell. He stumbled. He I could hear him like pause because then he kept going. He's like, yeah, they really are putting a great drive together here. Taking a lot. He tried to like explain it without laughing.
Did you hear him say you're irrefutable?
Yeah.
Oh, I had a blast.
That was so fucking funny.
As soon as he, because he leans over on the thing, he takes a knee sometimes, I guess, while he's calling it because he's like super football guy, enjoys taking a knee. He wore a suit specifically so he could take a knee. The pants could move. But he's like, he like bends over on that Cowboys booth, I guess they told me I will never touch, I would never step foot in another TV booth that's nice. Anywhere near that nice.
It looked real spacious just from the picture.
I guess Troy Aikman designed it.
Really?
Yeah, so Troy Aikman actually designed it. He's like, well, if you guys are going to make me fucking call games here, at least there's a bathroom in there. There's like a coffee thing. Nice. It's really, AJ and Sean said, you will never step foot in a nicer booth than this.
I'm your like, first game ever.
I might as well retire. Might as well retire.
Which is weird, though. Wouldn't you think that's the place, like, those are the voices of the game in your stadium? Wouldn't you want them to compliment your stadium as much as possible and have an enjoyable time there?
In my head, you would think that, but I think these broadcasters, normally, not me, obviously, but they are so educated and taught that you are just a strict, no matter what the circumstances, you are calling the game. Mm-hmm. So for me, I almost complimented the bathroom in the booth a couple times, but I couldn't get it in. There was a couple times I was looking to sneak it in, like, man, these bathrooms in this booth. I almost gave Troy Aikman a shout out in the middle of the game. I'm like, shout out Troy Aikman for doing this. I felt good in that booth.
You've seemed comfortable.
I think we're talking about it right now, so we're mid-conversation, so I don't want to give away anything in the future. Just know that a huge reveal happens in just 5 minutes from now. Huge. The biggest reveal of all time.
What?
Massive.
What could
massive,
it be?
Massive reveal. Mm-hmm. Whoa. If you figure out what it is, tweet us.
Okay.
Also tweet, if you are in the 66% of men,
oh no,
who lose their hair by the age of 35. Oh, no. Connor, get on Twitter. Zito, get on Twitter. Go ahead, Frankie Boy, Gumpy, Digsy.
I'm okay.
And get on the internet. Gumpy, you didn't deserve that. You're from Canada.
You need some hair left if you're going to get on Twitter. Sorry.
That was from me. You're from Boston, Connor.
That was me.
With the beige undies over there.
Yeah, I see. The thing is, when you start to notice your hair loss, it's too late by that point. It's easier to keep the hair you have than to replace the hair you've lost. Is that hairline slowly starting to move backwards? Are there any bald spots yet? How will you feel a year from now if it's business as usual up there? I ask, do you want a bald spot to pop up or do you want to do something about it?
Do something about it.
Do you want your hairline to recede or do you want to do something about it?
Do something about it.
Why do guys turn to weird solutions or do nothing when they can turn to medicine and science? Ever heard of it?
Yeah, we just said no.
What's that?
We just didn't know.
You with your hair loss.
And now we do know.
Now, if you were you a couple years back, you would have went right over to forhims.com/Pat.
Yep.
That's forhims.com/Pat to get a trial month of Hims for just $5 while supplies last.
I would have done something about it.
Hims connects you with real doctors and medical grade solutions to treat hair loss. Well-known generic equivalents to name brand prescriptions to help you keep your hair. No snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements.
Nope.
This is prescription solutions backed by science.
Only the good stuff.
Science. Science had no answer for your clavicle, but they do have an answer for good hair.
The same science that put them on Mars did this.
There's no waiting room. There's no awkward in-person doctor visits. Save hours by going to forhims.com/Pat. It's so easy. Answer a few quick questions. A doctor will review and can prescribe you. Products are shipped directly to your door. Order now for just $5 while supplies last. forhims.com/Pat. Now, let's get back to the conversation. But AJ's in his full bend over the thing. And he, by the way, there's a couple of things I didn't do. Like, I didn't get the fact that offensive holding should only be 5 yards, not 10 yards, because that can be called on every single play. I think it's bullshit that it's 10 yards. It completely fucks your entire drive because it's a ticky-tack call, too. So there's a couple things. AJ always tries, he said, every time I'm on TV, I'm trying to change a rule that college kids, if they're down and they're not touched, they should be. He said, every time I'm on TV, I'm pushing it. I'm trying to change the rules of the game. And I'm like, oh, I got a couple rules I'd like to change, too, AJ. And that was one of them. I want to change that. But also, the refs looking at that tiny little camera.
Yep. Oh, also hilarious.
There's Ray's life. Oh, yeah.
Cuzzy, ref Cuzzy, you're missing it. There is a 75-yard TV right above your head. And then Jesse, the producer, they got a shot of him. Mm. That guy, that guy was awesome. That guy was absolutely awesome. But AJ's saying, I'm not sure they're going to have irrefutable. And I just turned at him. I started laughing like on the air. And he looked at me, and you could see it in his eyes. He was like, oh, fuck. And there was no way I was just going to let that slide. I had a blast.
That was a stern ref. He gave a good stern call.
I feel like the ref never gets complimented. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, if I do another game and that ref's stumbling, look out, ref. Look out, Stripes. I'm coming in.
Was it hard to, like, sneak in, like, because you have to stop talking certain parts of the game, right?
So I only know that because of WWE. So I got a text from Michael Cole and Tom Phillips that asked me, is your only training for this at the Performance Center in our booth when it was, I think it was Kane versus Brock Lesnar. I called a match in the Performance Center. They have like this little room where you can put on headsets and recall an entire match. They're like, is that your only training? I'm like, absolutely. And they're like, Jesus Christ, somebody's going to get fired for this. And I was like, could be, could be. But I know that there's things you're not supposed to step on just naturally from watching. So I was trying to lay off as much as I was starting to get real comfortable, though. Yeah. I was starting to get real comfortable, and I noticed that a little or late. I was like, all right, too comfortable, probably.
Probably the rabbit out of the head.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. That one, that's probably right when you got a little too comfortable right there.
I felt good about it.
Yeah, I needed to.
I felt really good about it. There was another one right in between our eyes. That almost came out whenever I was like, Charlie Brewer's becoming a real-life college football quarterback, a superstar right in between our eyes here. I almost, but I was like, Dad, don't do too much. Don't do too much. Don't do too much. The third guy is a good role, by the way. Mm-hmm. It's a good place to be.
I think you ended up becoming the second guy.
Well, AJ doesn't talk as much. He said he's not scared to, but AJ's there for the info.
The football info.
Yeah, like, he's there for that. I'm just there strictly for my observations. And I actually saw some people on Twitter who hated me early, like Texas Tech Baylor people early, but I got them by the fourth. They all came back by the fourth.
So you were checking your phone the whole game?
Halftime.
Okay.
Halftime, and then when I would run and piss, I would give like a quick little. It was pretty active, though. Thankful for everybody watching that game, because there was another pretty big one happening at the same time.
The look good, feel good went pretty good.
Yeah. Shout out Dion. A little alley-oop from AJ Hawk there. I don't think he knew how much I do live by that motto.
Yeah. Right.
So whenever he set that up, I mean, that thing's literally sitting
there. I think the two parts that set that off were at the end, where you got, or maybe just an injury.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
Killed
big
me.
Big pop on that punchline.
That killed me, but the internet enjoyed Keep Up Sean more than anything.
Yeah, me telling Sean to keep up.
Yeah. I thought AJ opened the door nicely a couple times, too, to get your analysis on a punt. Like that. You don't hear that ever in a game.
When you guys came back from commercial, and it looked like a good punt, but he punted to the wrong side of the field.
Yeah, well, and I actually called it. Ooh, a beauty when he hit it, because it was turning over nicely.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just looked at the coverage real quick, and I was like, oh, no. This isn't good. So I actually asked the producer, the earpiece. I was like, in the talk back button, it's just like a cough button where you press it. Nobody can hear you live, but you're talking right to the truck. I go, hey, can you give me a behind shot of that punt? I feel like you might have punted that to the wrong side of the field. And then they're like, look in your ISO camera. I was like, where's that? They're like, right in front of you and down. I was like, oh, shit. Oh, there it is. They're like, what do you want us to do? I was like, just press play real quick. And their entire punt team released left, which means they thought the ball was going left. I was like, yeah. He was supposed to punt that left. He punted it right. Huge return. It was. They're like, all right, we're going to come right out of commercial with that. I was like, with what? They're like, that punt. I'm like, oh, okay. Am I talking there? And I'm like, they're like, yeah. I'm like, okay. I'm like, AJ, excuse me. Sean, please shut the fuck up. And at this point, Sean and AJ and I are very tight, right? Yeah. So everybody's laughing. So I do the whole thing. I wish I would have had the fucking
telestrator.
Yeah. Man, I would have went draw in there.
Did you guys do the announcer night before dinner?
Yeah, we went to eat at this Japanese place.
Uh-huh.
Nice. This Japanese place. I got these.
Because I remember Kirk saying that's how they build camaraderie.
Have little beers before. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That Sean guy, I'm a big fan of what he, because he said he listened to the podcast last week because his friend Kyle told him to, where I think my first comment was, does anybody know who the fuck Sean Kelly is? So he brought that up at dinner. He was like, I heard your podcast where you asked if anybody knew who the fuck I was. I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't, John. I'm so sorry. I'm happy I know you now. He turned out to be a good guy.
Yeah.
Really good guy. The whole Fox crew there, everybody was so nice.
What did they think about your costume?
Everybody loved it.
Yeah. Oh, it was good. When AJ called you a 16-year-old, I fucking died.
I had boots on, too. Didn't get to see the boots in the shot. I like a wide shot. I had some black shit kickers on down there. Belt buckle didn't get enough play in the first one, so at halftime I had to open up the suit coat. I was going to go no jacket, by the way, for the second half. The second half lead-in or the halftime lead-in. Right. I was going to go no jacket, and I had it down. And I'll tell you what, I looked thin because it was all black. Uh-huh. I've been fasting for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I look like one of those guys at any country bar that's dressed in all black up front and knows every motherfucking dance. Every single one. If you're ever at a country bar or saloon and there's line dancing, you look for the motherfucker dressed in all black and he's right up in the front. He knows every single one. And if he doesn't, he's making every single one up. I looked exactly like that guy. And I'm standing there. AJ's like, oh, aggressive look, no jacket. And I'm like, hey, does that mean something? Like, am I supposed to wear a jacket? He was like, I don't know. You do whatever you want. I'm like, whoa. So they're like 30 seconds. I'm like, give me that fucking jacket. Give me the I put the jacket on. I'm like, I'm leaving it open, though, because this goddamn belt buckle's got to eat. I had a blast on there.
I'm glad you pulled the trigger on the bolo tie. It looked awesome. Yeah.
Thank
it
you.
It looked awesome.
I appreciate that. Yeah. I didn't fully know what I was going to do. I had a lot of options in my suitcase, and I had to go with it in the morning. Bolo tie is an aggressive shot for your first time on a network. Now it's going to have to be a thing. What you say?
Wherever you're at. Fit, though. It suited Jerry World perfectly.
I appreciate that. Yeah. Gumpy, by the way, from Canada, joining us here for American Thanksgiving weekend. Gumpy, how are you?
Great, you? Yeah.
Did you watch the game?
No, I was driving here.
Oh, you missed it.
I know, I blew it.
My lady didn't see it either. She thought the game was at 3 for some reason. She lives in my house. She was in my house. She DVR'd it, though.
Yeah.
I guess, which doesn't make any... I think I DVR'd it, actually.
We did, too.
Okay, good news. So we have it. So she didn't see it until she got home at, like, halftime. Mm-hmm. And she was texting me, like, oh, shit, I didn't know it already started. I'm like, yep. It's going average, by the way. It's going average. And then she watched the second half. And she sent me a very nice text afterwards. It was like, hey, because I've always wanted to do this. I think anybody knows that this is something I've always wanted to do. Mm-hmm. I was really excited, and I think I did.
Is it something you'd be interested in the future?
I think so.
I don't think it could have gotten any better. And we talked about it, but the fact that it would have been easy for you to compromise who you really are and just do what everybody else does and just blend in. Mm-hmm. But the fact that you maintained being Pat McAfee was huge.
You also had a professional side about you, too, which surprised me.
You ending the broadcast as well, saying, oh, I just did average.
And when he said, good job, I say average, I say Michael Cole, though.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Michael Cole was the only guy I could get any information from. He's my only friend that's a broadcaster. Right. And Michael Cole has been like a real mentor to me, you know? Mm-hmm. This guy has been very nice. He was the first person to ever let me on network microphone.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I sent Michael Cole a text. I go, okay, you have time, was my first one. He said, what was his response? Like, perfect. I'm third man in the booth for a college football game tomorrow. In your opinion, they're having me in there to just act like me, right? I'm not supposed to act like an actual third man in the booth. I literally have nobody else to ask this question to. So I hope you answer. He goes, you never interrupt. I'm just teasing. I think you should split the difference, he says. I wouldn't wear shorts and a t-shirt. As far as presentation, I think you need to remain Pat McAfee, but you're also a serious football player. So I think you should provide that side too. Remember, you're the third person. They have a play-by-play guy and an analyst. You're there to provide a little bit of color, fun, and true feelings. Mm-hmm. That's the night before I get that text from him. And I think that's just... It even goes even more to the fact that just Michael Cole is the man.
He's the fucking man.
He's the best. And I think you did that to a T.
Yeah.
I think so. Mm-hmm. I honestly think I'm very hard-headed and stubborn, but I do believe I am coachable. Mm-hmm. Okay? Because A, I want to be better, because if I'm better, I can talk more. That's the only reason why. Mm-hmm. But I really appreciated that message, and I enjoyed the fuck out of it. Bob Kavoyan from Bob and Tom sent me a nice long text message afterwards.
A lot of my old teammates sent me That's messages. Awesome. It was really cool. I might change the way some games are called, though.
Oh, yeah. By the way. I think so.
The thing I was so impressed with is, like, you could have your own thing that you were doing, like being funny, but then you could hop right in. Like, if a play was going on mid-play, you could hop right in and give your analysis on, like, the back end of that, and you didn't have to, you know, compromise in between there.
Right.
All those times where I had to sit in actual football meetings and listen to actual football coaches with actual football.
Paid off.
It all paid off because I was starting to see some things. I was like, oh, fuck, I remember this in the meetings where they were talking to people that weren't me. I remember this. And it was all starting to come together. It was really...
I mean, when the NFL tried to do this with Dennis Miller, and it was a big disaster, for one, they finally now have a comedian who was an NFL player.
What,
so he was missing that. Plus, his comedy didn't suit that kind of entertainment anyway.
Well, yeah, I think Dennis Miller was an aggressive choice. They also had that other guy, Kornheiser.
Yep.
And anytime I talked about calling games, everybody would send me tweets about, yeah, look how it worked out for Kornheiser and Dennis Miller. And it's like, it's very different. Yeah, it's very, very different. And I'm happy that Fox gave me a chance because nobody would.
Do they give you guys like a report card after the game or anything like that?
I wonder if like the actual guys like AJ, because I'm not a full-time Fox person. I wonder if they do get one of those.
Like
things.
A ref like gets a report card after a game and shit like that.
I feel bad about that. What are we doing here? When we're going to another review.
Not a big review guy.
Big sideline heater the guy though. Big sideline heater guy. So last week, I should have went into that a little bit more. Cliff Kingsbury was crushed by the media because he didn't let his players have any sideline heaters in K-State.
Yeah.
And they lost to Kansas State. Mm-hmm. And he was asked why he didn't let them. He was like, well, we had them in Iowa last year. We lost. And this time we lost. I was just trying to keep them engaged in game. And I didn't get a chance to talk to Cliff one-on-one, but I would let him know. Asshole fucking move. It's cold as shit back there, bro.
Warm is always better.
I was a big sideline heater guy. Me and Vinatieri, huge sideline heater guys. And that's a Hall of Famer. That's just something to think about. I had a blast, man. I really did.
It came across like
no swears. Said hell.
Yeah, you're allowed to say that, right?
My bookie was in a fucking little bit of a pretzel. Because I guess there was a bet on whether or not I'd swear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they didn't clarify.
Yeah, but I said hell. So I get a text from from my bookie. And he goes, I watched the game. Did you say any other swear words other than hell? I was like, no. He was like, you know, you put us in an interesting spot. I was like, I'm so sorry. He said, I don't think hell is a swear word.
Not.
He said, I don't think hell is a swear word. And then I think he paid people out for that. I think there was some real money made on that. By the way, I'm assuming everybody thought I was going to swear.
No,
I don't think so.
Because you never swore on WWE, so why would you swear now?
That's the thing that put me over on that. I'm like, oh, dude, he's been doing the WWE thing for a while now, and he definitely can't cuss on there.
There was a couple close ones. Whenever the guy made a huge play, D lineman, I dropped a whammy in there.
Uh-huh.
I dropped a whammy. That was almost like a fucking hit. That was real close, because in those high-energy ones is when you don't have as much as a filter. I was enjoying it. Fun time. I'm thankful for Fox Sports letting me do that. Very thankful. Now here's the man that produced the whole goddamn show, Jesse. Ladies and gentlemen, joining me now is the man who produced the Texas Tech Baylor Texas Farm Bureau Insurance Shootout this past Saturday at AT&T Stadium. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesse West. What's up, Jesse?
Not much. That was easy. That was easy for you to spit out there. Jeez.
I'll tell you what, it was very interesting that the name of it was the Texas Farm Bureau Insurance Shootout, but I love the ability to make money off of everything these days.
That's the point.
Okay, Jesse. So obviously a lot of my people that are listening right now watched the show on Saturday, watched the game on Saturday. They were anticipating, there was bets, there were sports books that you could bet on my performance. Would I swear? Would I break an FCC rule? Would I drop a for the brand? Would I embarrass my family? There was actually wagers that were happening there. All these people had all these expectations for how I was going to do. You, the guy who actually had to produce the show, going in whenever you hear that I'm going to be there, how did you feel? What was the initial reaction? And were you shitting your pants a little bit?
Well, the reaction was, it was also my first show producing in the chair of football games. So I said, please God, don't let me get fired after my first show. that was my initial thought. But the point is, you know, Fox likes big personalities and they're a little on the edgy side. So you fit that perfectly. I mean, and you were yourself during the game. So, you know, as far as that goes, I had no issue there. I mean, you know, Fox was all over that. You worried me twice during the, from Friday to Sunday. I will admit, when you came in with the cutoff shirt to the coaches' meetings, I said, oh, boy, here we go. You know what? Personally, I think the Baylor guy loved it. You know, Coach Rule and Brewer, they loved it. I think they opened up and gave us more answers because I think they felt comfortable. And your focus wasn't on the X's and O's. You kind of wanted to get to know them personally. So that was number one. The second thing is when you called me an hour before the game saying, hey, we can't find the booth. I said, oh, God, we're going to have one announcer. I said, what the heck's going on here? So after all of that, the game went pretty well, I have to admit.
I asked AJ. I asked AJ because I didn't even think about this meeting with the coaches. I've never been a part of one of these before, even as a player. I mean, 8 years in the league, 4 years in college, I was never once invited to the media conversation with the people there at the hotel. I had no idea what to expect. So I asked AJ beforehand. I'm like, AJ, what the hell do I wear to this thing? He was like, I'll be comfortable. I was like, so like jeans and a tank top? He's like, well, don't wear a tank top. I was like, oh, I got a sleeveless hoodie. It's a step above tank top. So I didn't know what I was walking into, but I when I walked in there and I saw everybody, how everybody was dressed, I immediately gave like, I fucked this one up. I fucked this one up for sure.
So are you blaming AJ for a little sabotage there? Is that what's going on here?
Absolutely. I mean, did you hear him all game? He was trying to sabotage me the whole goddamn game, Jesse.
But you know what people need to realize is if they didn't watch the game, your on-camera look, man, you were dressed to the nines. That belt buckle, the brand new boots.
Thank you.
I mean, you were styling. You were styling.
How about the bolo tie, Jesse? When I showed up with that, when you saw me wearing a bolo tie, were you just like, oh, this is my first time ever doing this, and all of a sudden it's ruined by this absolute moron?
I thought to myself, everything's bigger in Texas, so let's go.
I talked to AJ because obviously that was my first game, so I have nothing to compare it to. But the producer is in your ear, right? So Jesse is in my ear during the thing, telling us what camera's coming, what replays are happening, things that could have possibly happened. He said that you were incredible in how calm you were, and you were definitely helping us out a lot. I would talk about something, and you would help me, as opposed to AJ normally says that the producer yells at the talent to talk about something because they found it. I think, now granted, I've only done it one time, but I think you are like fit for this job. I think you're supposed to be in that position. Is this something you've always wanted to do?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm a golf guy, and you know, obviously the match was going on, and I would have loved to have done that, but you know, didn't get the opportunity. But yeah, I mean, this has always been something I've been looking forward to doing. And you know, I'm normally on the sidelines with Holly Saunders, and they gave me a chance. And like I said, I haven't got a call saying I'm fired yet, so it must have went okay.
How about when
they call you and fire you yet, or are we still good?
I have gotten zero updates other than the fact that there might have been a question on whether or not I was a hardcore X's and O's guy or not.
I know that is not the case, but you know what your fans do need to know? I will say one thing. You pointed out there was a punt, and we went to commercial, and you said in talkback, you're like, I got this. I'm like, what do you got? You're like, this punter went to the wrong side here. That's why there was a 45-yard return. And stuff like that, for your first time, man, jumping in and taking that opportunity to tell us why that happened, there's a future there for you.
Well, I would hope so. I mean, the internet enjoyed it. The only thing I was missing was the goddamn telestrator. You know, I thought I'd get a chance to draw on the goddamn screen there, Jesse.
Well, you're not John Madden just quite yet.
How about, so you're a big golf guy. I took a shot at Tiger and Phil in midway through like third quarter. I think I took a shot at him.
I did hear that. It's okay though. It's okay. You know, it's okay. Rumor has it didn't go so hot. So hopefully the fans came over and watched our game the next day. So
after those I don't know how those meetings normally go. The ones we were in with Baylor, I had a feeling coming out of that meeting that the Baylor team was feeling a lot better about themselves than the Texas Tech team. Is that normal for those types of meetings, or is this something that just is kind of, I don't know if that makes sense, what I just asked there.
Well, I mean, it does, and I don't know if it's normal. I mean, let's be honest. Cliff was in a bad situation with the quarterbacks going on, and normally you don't get that. I mean, he threw a guy out there he had to, was playing on one leg. You know, and Baylor had Brewer, who, you know, I mean, let's be honest, the kid was a stud last year, and he's just getting better and better. So I think you get a feel for the meetings, And, you know, normally we get to go out to practice, but being a neutral site, there wasn't that. So you get a good feel, but you never know what's going to happen. These are college kids going out to play. Who knows what's going to happen when they get out on the field? So
Brewer balled out. He said Russell Wilson was a guy he looked up to. I respected that a lot. We got a lot out of those interviews, and I enjoyed the whole process, Jesse, and I just wanted to call and thank you here on the show.
Not a problem. You know, I hope that your 1.4 Twitter followers liked it, and my 67 Twitter followers, they loved it. So you might have a couple more.
Okay, are you, this might be a personal question, are you wifed up? Do you have a family and all that?
I do, yeah. My daughter, she's having surgery actually tomorrow, some procedures just to clean up a few things. So she's going to, hopefully she gets through that and everything's going to be okay.
Okay, well, nothing but very positive thoughts for you and your family. What did your family think of the show, though? Because that's probably big for them, too, your first time getting to run the gig there. Did they watch? Did they enjoy it? Were they nervous for a potential? Like, how was the whole family reaction? That's a big moment for you, too, by the way.
Well, it is a huge moment. And the one thing I'll tell you, my mother-in-law, who knows nothing about football, said, I really like that number 21 from Texas Tech. He's a crafty little guy. So, yes, they watched it, and they must have enjoyed it. So that's all that matters.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I appreciate you, Jesse. You were nothing but a gentleman. Good luck in the future, and maybe we'll work together someday again.
Sounds good, man. You take care.
Cheers, man. Shout out to that Jesse guy, by the way. Golf guy, had to produce a football game. First time I'm on it for him. That had to be tough. He was definitely sweating bullets there. He mentioned how when I walked into the Baylor coaches meetings with a sleeveless on and jorts, he was a little bit worried about what was happening. I had a good interview with those guys, though. I treated it like they were literally just getting interviewed on my show. A lot of X's and O's talks from Sean Kelly and AJ. I just came in here and asked the real questions. I want to hear the real stuff.
Yeah, you got to personalize them.
Exactly. Let's make them some humans, Donner. Speaking of the weekend, though.
Yep.
I never got a chance to really watch much else that happened. Sunday, I watched a lot of NFL, but the other college football stuff, I guess there were some real upsets that happened. I guess that Ohio State-Michigan thing was insane. The weekend, terrible block there for the Oklahoma-West Virginia game. West Virginia got fucked. But Diggs, what all happened this weekend in the football world?
LSU-Texas A&M went to 7 overtimes.
Oh, I saw the fake... Gatorade shower.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Coach O got a little Gatorade shower
early, right?
Uh huh.
Like
right in the bowl with like a minute left in the fourth quarter.
That's awesome. That is so awesome.
And then 7 overtimes is a wild game.
What time did it end? Like 1 a.m.
Yeah, it was around there, right around there. I had Texas A&M -3.
Oh, that's tough.
You won by 2. Couldn't have just done something different 7 overtimes.
I played in a 4 overtime game. I think that was a long one because the college rules that you have to go for 2, right? That's how you lost because they won the one team.
Yes,
after the 3rd overtime.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So they you're either as a kicker, you're either kicking a field goal or nothing. That's it after the 2nd overtime.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, college overtime is a good format. A lot of people talk about how the college overtime format's a good format.
I love it.
7 of them is a long time, It's a long fucking
time.
And then
Ohio State, Ohio State waxed Michigan, and it was a bloodbath.
That was during the game I was calling.
Yes.
That first update came through, and it was a real shocker across the headset. I'm like, well, what's going on?
It was 21-19 at half, and then it was just an absolute blowout in the second.
You know what Harbaugh's known for? Just losing it in the second half. Is he gone, huh?
No.
Bro, he's 0-5 against, or 0-4 against Ohio State.
They're not firing him.
Michigan's ruthless, though.
Michigan, 0-4, 0-5.
Gave Brady Hoke fucking years to do it. It's true. Brady Hoke.
They got Rich Rodriguez out there with the quickness, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That guy was calling people a lot of terrible names, doing a lot of bad things.
But he wasn't a Michigan man.
Nowhere near it. Harbaugh is a Michigan man. You think Harbaugh would want to go back to the NFL or no?
That's what I want to see.
No, I don't think
you want to
so.
See him
yes,
up there?
Absolutely.
No way.
Gumpy, how do you fall on that?
He was good on the Niners, and he didn't want to be there. Like all the talented players he had there, and he left that.
I think he's a guy who's like, I've had about enough of this. I'm moving on.
Yeah, because he was NFC Championships, and then he left.
Hey, Kaepernick.
I think his shtick ran dry after a while.
And will it happen in Michigan? Who knows?
Well, yeah, and I just think it like what he does works better for college kids than it does like grown men who are, you know, trying to play.
Having sleepovers at
exactly.
High school kids. All the Michigan alum were being ruthless against themselves.
Oh, as they should.
We're ruthless against themselves.
I love it so much.
I didn't get to see any of it. I just heard the updates.
Oh, you barely beat Rutgers.
Oh, no, year. I know. I'm just being petty. I want the Harbaugh project to fail, so I like seeing it.
Why?
Because, dude, they thought national titles year after year, and they're not even beating Ohio State once.
Oh, boy.
Ohio State's pretty good.
But there was a big.
Oh, I know.
Not this year.
There was a big to do on the internet. Somebody said like Urban Meyer is a terrible human. It was like a real report. I think it might have been. I don't remember who it was. Terrible human, but he's a great football coach. And then that went on with a bunch of people saying like, oh, saying he's a terrible human is a little bit wrong. And then this other guy was like, nope. Covered him in Florida. It was a very crooked operation he was running down there.
He's an overdramatic piece
of
shit.
Well, they gave up.
He has a tough PR image, man.
They gave up 51 in Maryland the week before, too.
Out of nowhere.
A kid ran for 298.
They gave up 50 to fucking Purdue.
Oh, hold on. And now they're thinking like they might potentially get into playoff.
Oh, yeah.
They'll get hosed again, same as last year. They'll be a one-loss team that doesn't get in, same as last year.
If they win and Oklahoma wins, it's between those two.
They'll get...
Oklahoma has to get it.
Yeah, you'd think.
Yeah, I hope so.
By the way, that game in Morgantown was an awesome game.
It was very awesome.
Refs fucked West Virginia over so hard, man. But I got a shot in at that, too, on the telecast, by the way. I was like, let's hope these refs don't make any calls for blocking too good. That's what screwed West Virginia over. The kid blocked too good. Blocked him onto the sideline, buried him, blocked him off the field. No. Yeah, hey, he punked the kid. That's what you do.
West Virginia could have got a stop, too. Just one time.
Hey, it would have been nice. But that's how Oklahoma got a stop because of that. It was like they couldn't get a stop either.
Well, they scored on two fumble returns.
It's a shame, man. It's a shame. I was watching that game late night.
AB dressed up like the fucking.
He looked awesome.
Yeah.
I put that tweet out. He looked awesome. I got crushed.
Really?
He was like, oh, he's not pulling for West Virginia. I'm like, well, I noticed that. He's cheering. I noticed he's cheering with the other team, but we can just talk about his fucking jumpsuit with velour jacket on top of it on primetime TV.
Yeah, it's not about who he's cheering for.
No, it's hilarious the way he looks. By the way, Antonio Brown could probably walk into any stadium he wants and do that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Just so happened to be WVU. Blaine Stewart, one of the wide receiver assistants. Mm-hmm. Dad used to be the head coach at WVU. He and AB are friends because he works with them with the Steelers. I'm assuming that's the end there. Get him on the sideline. I hope he enjoyed his time in Morgantown. Took that Rolls Royce diner, probably.
He's got a few of them.
Those potholes. I don't know if the mountains.
Because I don't know if they
take
have,
them
I don't know if they have the Porsche from when he got pulled over for going to the game.
110. I wonder how long that trip from Pittsburgh to Morgantown was. AB driving, but 25 minutes. 25 fucking minutes. Probably an hour and a half. Sunday was a wild day of football.
They fucking fumbled the game away. Again, two interceptions, two fumbles inside the 20.
He did that with Jacksonville last year, too. Didn't he, Roethlisberger, the goal line interception?
Yeah. He's, you know, Ben just likes to make things exciting. We were due for a loss on the road.
I thought that was a win, though, for you guys, for sure.
No, they were due. They were due. If it wasn't that, it was going to be Oakland in 2 weeks.
Oakland, by the way, huh?
Lamar Jackson is now the starting, might be.
Bro, they were 13-point dogs going in to play Lamar Jackson in the Ravens.
Yep.
13-point dogs. That has to tell you something about it. And then they cover. The Ravens covered and then some, by the way.
Oh, that was a great one. That was a late cover. T-Sizzle, 50-yard fumble recovery.
Dude, he needed that. Fast, too.
Needed that. He did.
Judon from the Ravens told me he was going to put a beam on me a year ago. He did because I told him he should always bet on his dick. Well, you should pick heads.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, you should pick heads. He picked tails. They lost, whatever. So he said he's going to put a beam on me. But in a press conference afterwards, he said somehow T-Sug's old hamstrings held up while he was sprinting. And I lost it because Terrell is old. He's older gentleman. Time. He's been in the game a long time. He's been a legend a long time.
He was outrunning dudes.
He was smoking fools. That was an incredible play.
Juju's also very deceptively fast.
Juju, 97-yard tutter, two of them this year.
He had angles on him.
That was awesome, and they still lose, by the way.
Yeah, it was tough.
Normally when you have a 97-yard touchdown, you don't lose.
Well, four turnovers inside plus territory and a block kick. Not great.
Hey, Colts Dolphins. Gumpy was at the game.
Colts came back.
Do you enjoy that? Colts are making a little run right now.
I thought we were going to get spanked, and then we were up 10 with 8 minutes left, and the play calling is absurd.
Dolphins got really lucky, though. I mean, I think we can all agree the Colts were steamrolling them in the first half, and the Dolphins were just stealing points almost, it felt like.
Yeah.
Stealing points.
Yeah.
There was a Moss for a long touchdown that happened. That if that doesn't happen, there's a punt. The Colts probably. It just seemed as if everything was going the Dolphins' way.
Well, they had Drake. Drake was going well, and Gore was going well, mm-hmm. and then Drake got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had the ball on your own 10 with a chance to go win the
game.
Oh,
yeah, 3 minutes left.
And you know you're going to punt, and Luck's going to get the ball at half.
You know what's happening.
Less than 2 minutes
They were pressuring
left.
Luck yesterday, too, for the first time in 3 weeks.
Man, he hasn't had a sack in like six fucking weeks.
Luck said he's no longer catching receptions.
He said that last week, too.
Hey, a lot of people are going after Frank Reich for that play.
Why?
Hey, well, that's what all the local media were calling it.
Of course.
They were comparing it to the fake punt that we ran against the Patriots.
Well,
they're
why?
Like, the second dumbest play since this, because he got ended up getting tackled. It's like,
it was
it
just
worked.
A bad throw was the issue. Like, he had to go up and get
it. Yeah,
he came down
Brissette
and got
what he was
hammered.
Doing.
Yeah, but if a corner is going to bury Andrew Luck, I think Andrew Luck is going to take that to heart, too. You know, like, that was a big fourth down play. Mm-hmm. Huge play. And yeah. Everybody was going after Frank Reich, calling it a dumb play, which I get it, because if he lands on his shoulder... But, I mean,
he's never really got hurt on the field, right? He's only got hurt on the slopes. I mean, what are they worried about? As long as he's not fucking going down the hill, he's fine.
The Colts are all the way back, though.
Colts are back.
Touchdown for Ebron, too.
Ebron, two of them, Ebron just scoring and scoring and scoring.
Panthers blew fucking...
Vinny's son got in his eyes, by the way.
Yeah, the son.
On that first game.
I thought it was blocked. Dolphins already blocked a punt. I was gonna say it was a rough day.
He just the sun got in his eyes. The wind came in. He
got
old
the
buddy
game
Tom
winner,
McMahon got a shout out yesterday. Did on he? The, broadcast.
The Broncos came in, got a win there, huh? Mm-hmm. Good for them. Good for the
Panthers
Broncos.
Blew a lead. They were up 7 with 4 minutes left. Couldn't cover that one. Fucking Russell Wilson came back.
Russell Wilson. By the way, everybody dislikes him.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody seems to dislike him.
Mm-hmm. For good reason.
But he made a play whenever it seems as if lately he's been making plays when they need him to make a play. Fourth quarter, Russell Wilson, Sierra doing a little shiggy dance, comeback, Sebastian Janikowski hits a winner. It was almost like, I don't want to say it was anywhere near what you know when Tom Brady gets it, but it felt like as soon as Russell Wilson got that ball, it was like, oh, we know what's going to happen. Gano missed that field goal. We know what's going to happen here.
I don't think people's hatred for Russell Wilson comes from anything on the field. I like watching him play. He's fun to watch. It's everything off the field.
He's tough to handle off the field. Yeah. Tough to handle. And he gets going, too, when he was talking. He did that post-game interview, and he was like, and then Janikowski, Hall of Fame kicker, go Hawks. And he's out. And he's like, oh.
I don't think I ever see Seabass miss.
The only time he'll miss, it'll be like a real bad one. And it's probably because of like a plant issue or something.
Like yesterday when he was kicking that, I was like, oh, I had no doubt.
He does hit it so clean, it seems like.
How come the onside kicks, they don't do
the high
looping,
hop?
It's these dribblers now.
Okay, so I asked Tom McMahon this question. So I sent him a text. I was like, listen, I might not understand the new rules, but why is nobody hitting the high hop? Because we had a lot of success in Indianapolis with the high hop. Mm-hmm. And he told me this. He said, you're only allowed 5x5. Mm-hmm. You can't have overload. 2 inside numbers, 2 outside numbers. And the biggest killer is the feet have to be planted in the ground at the 34 until the ball is kicked. Bottom line, balanced seesaw, no overloads, no winning leverage pre-kick, and no rolling forward starts. The ball beating the coverage unit to desired spot of contact. The only kick that automatically forces the opponent to have to make a play is the dribble. So they're just banking on a scrum potentially happening from the dribble. So the high hop, you get a chance with the rolling start that you guys, it's a time, it's a jump ball. But the only way that now they can guarantee that somebody has to make a play is the dribble, I guess.
The high hop gets there too quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you get somebody who can really hit one, I still wonder if like
I haven't seen anybody
even try it.
Collinsworth talked about it Sunday Night Football.
Yeah.
He said the success rate has dropped so much. He's like, I think they should give the quarterback like a 4th and 15. And if he converts that, you keep the possession moving.
Yeah, they have to do something because the game's over.
I feel like
yeah, exactly.
The game's over. Like, the onside kick was a big deal. I don't want to say this as I was the greatest onside kicker to ever play, but I think I probably was. And it's one of those things where that's a huge advantage if you have a good onside kick team because you're in it. You're still in it. Now, granted, I missed a lot, too. There was a lot that we didn't get, but, I mean, I think we got 4-1 season. It's one of those things where they've taken that completely out with these new rules, so it's the game's over. Mm-hmm. It's like if you're up 2 scores late in the game, it's over,
exactly.
Which is wild to think about. That's not the game.
I don't know how to solve it. I don't think I like the 4th and 15 because any penalty gives you an automatic first. Like,
that's a good point.
And there's just too many defensive penalties for that. That's almost too much the other way.
Too easy.
Yeah.
They should just allow the rules to go back to the old kickoff rules.
I think so. If it's like under 2 minutes or something.
It's not even close. Like, I haven't seen one that's even like close to retaining it.
Very easy. All of them have been very simple covers.
And they're guys that I thought used to be good at the onside kicks that are trying to do the dribble. And it's
you're right. You're 100%. Because I was mind blown. I actually put a tweet out. I said, I don't know why dudes aren't doing it anymore. And I got a bunch of responses from internet people that think they know. But then when I, when I got that message, because I it was befuddling so much, I actually texted the an NFL special teams coach, like, hey, why is this happening? And he was like, basically, the new rules, we can't do anything. And it makes sense if you think about it, I guess. The only way you can recover it is if the other team fucks up the recovery. Mm-hmm. So you got to just get a little worm burner, a little squibbler in there. I can respect that.
Speaking of Sunday Night Football, the Packers are dead.
Yes, they are.
I bet on them.
Packers are dead.
So did I.
Yep.
You know why? Because whenever I see Aaron Rodgers in primetime, I'm like Aaron Rodgers in primetime.
And Kirk Cousins in primetime. I go the other way.
4-13 mm-hmm. in his last 17 before Sunday Night Football. He's 5-13 in primetime football. Aaron Rodgers comes out of that goddamn cave like it's Easter every time on primetime football. No matter what's around, I'm getting dragged around. That's what I thought. My lady, too. Sam and I both hammered the Packers. Hammered the Packers on my bookie. We both passed out, woke up. It was like fourth quarter, and I was like, what the fuck's going on here? What's going on here? Are the Vikings good again? Or are the Packers bad, Ty?
The Packers are bad. They haven't scored points in the second half in the last 2 weeks. Like, they get off to these hot starts, and then just it's coaching. They don't make any adjustments at halftime. None whatsoever. Like, it's unbelievable. I mean, I'm okay with it now because McCarthy's going to get fired. He's done. So that's the silver lining. But also, Rodgers didn't play great last night.
No, he missed Adams.
He missed a lot of throws. Like, and he was the first one to say, like, hey, I need to play a lot better. But again, like, the positions he's put in with some of the play calls, it's just...
Hey, he's got a lot going on, though. I mean,
he does.
He's got a lot of turmoil going on down there on the internet.
Yeah.
He's raising some money for Paradise. Buchani over there. And his family's just like, nah, dog. You're raising money for a lot of people.
Such a chode.
Yeah. How about when you didn't call your mother to see if she was burning the flames?
His brother's been taking shot at him for years.
He's the guy from Bachelor, right?
Yeah.
He's like a BC Lions practice squad guy.
I wonder what happened. Something happened.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
At some moment, something happened. Me and my family got into it a little bit early because I thought they'd change. They thought I'd change for like a month or two, and then my dad basically came and talked to me, and we had a quick moment. But I could see how a family can get divided quickly if something – because you've got a big lifestyle change comes in flying real hot. Mm-hmm. You see it with a lot of players in the NFL. I'm not sure about Aaron Rodgers' situations. I don't know if they grew up with money or not, but I wonder what – there was one situation that happened that has not been resolved. Boy, it got real petty out there on the internet.
The rumor is that when he started dating Olivia Munn, his family really didn't like her, and he was just like, well, fuck you guys. I'm not going to break up with her. I'm not just going to end it. And that's like what really started the divide.
Hold on. Now they're broken up now.
Yeah.
So you would think directly after that, you go back in there.
And I think you look like Rodgers is a very personal guy, and then his brother goes on The Bachelorette and airs out all this dirty laundry on ABC, on national TV, and like tries to body bag him and makes him look terrible. And if I were him, I'd be like, all right, fuck you guys. I don't want anything to do with you either.
Yeah, I mean, he wouldn't have been on that TV show if he wasn't Aaron Rodgers' brother.
Exactly, and he wouldn't have won if he wasn't Aaron Rodgers' brother.
And Aaron is an alpha, too, for his brother to try and take shots. I mean, it's always attached to him, too, right?
What do you mean?
Like, him by himself is nothing without the Rodgers last name. Like, he retweeted Aaron's tweet to go at him.
It's very interesting, man, because you hate to see the family stuff, especially when he's doing something. He's trying to raise a couple $1 million for people. Right. And it's like, oh, yeah, but let me go ahead and bury you real quick about how you treat your mom. That's like that's a wild scene there. That's a wild. I feel bad. I don't like it. I don't like being in that drama type stuff. And I'm assuming Aaron doesn't like it either, by the way.
No, exactly, which is why he doesn't want anything to do with him.
Might be why he played bad, though.
Yeah, I like watching it.
Could be a reason why he played bad. Might have been distracted. You know, there's people that don't feel bad about stuff.
Yeah, sociopaths.
I've always mentioned this. Like, there's people that don't feel bad about stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I do. Like, I do feel bad about stuff. So when something happens, like, at night, like, it really does. Like, I do feel bad. I don't understand the people that, like, Aaron Rodgers might be a guy who truly feels bad, and this type of shit can distract you if it's your family trying to really ruin. Like, that's a distraction for real if you do feel that way, you know?
I think deep down he may be kind of playing like shit because he wants McCarthy out.
Yep. Oh, think this is like a lot of guys. AJ Hawk told me this weekend. He said, I was on punt team one time. And I was like, really? He was like, yeah, played so bad they took me off. I was like, yeah, good. A lot of guys do that. You think that's what Aaron's doing?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he sees now it's like, all right, well, even if they did make the playoffs, like they didn't have a good enough team to really make any impact or make any run at the Super Bowl. So it's like, screw it. This guy's not worth the shit.
Okay, so Gruden's tanking in Oakland.
Yes.
And Aaron's tanking in Green Bay. Gruden for the first pick, Aaron for a new coach.
Yep. I like it.
Oh, speaking of new coaches.
Yeah, buddy.
Rumor came out that Hugh's going to be the next Bengals coach.
Hey, man. Randall, old cousin Demarius Randall, handing him that interception was awesome.
Love that move.
So good.
And then Baker coming out flying afterwards.
I know. Baker is on one right now.
And he's winning, too. He can I've do whatever the fuck he wants.
Decided that I hate Baker now. I've decided. I don't know if it like clicked in my head that I realized he's the Cleveland Browns quarterback, but I fucking hate Baker now.
Why? Because he's going to do damage to the Steelers here in the future.
He's not doing damage to anybody.
I think that he's a player, bro.
That fucking short 5, what is he, 5'9"? He's not going to do dick to anybody.
Why are you hating on Baker Mayfield right now?
He stinks, dude.
Why? What do you mean he stinks? He's winning in Cleveland.
You beat the Bengals. You're the worst defense in the league.
Bro, yeah, that would make sense if you were saying any other team that he played for other than Cleveland. He's winning in Cleveland.
I know where he's winning.
Nobody wins in Cleveland. Baker Mayfield's winning in Cleveland.
Derek America's Anderson team. Won in Cleveland. America's team. I'm just, everyone's too high on Baker, which means I have to hate him.
Oh, so you don't like that people like him right now?
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, classic digs.
Yeah. But I mean, like, I'm not like that with everybody. He's a little too cocky.
He should be.
He's a little too cocky for me.
Damian Woody goes after him on First Take, and then he fires back in the comment section. I love that.
I mean,
he's
awesome. I mean, he did leave Texas Tech for Oklahoma.
Not on scholarship, though. He's getting a scholarship pulled at Texas Tech.
Yeah, and Hugh got fired. Like, he came at Hugh for going to the Bengals when Hugh got fired.
Hugh's still getting paid, though. That's what he's talking about. Hugh's getting paid. He's doing that job for free. He's, like, volunteering to do that job.
Yeah, I get that. But, I mean, if you leave the game for 6 months, who knows if you ever get back in?
Just real quick, I am not against you taking this job, right? Mm-hmm. You do what you got to do. But I'm not against Baker coming out and clapping against him either. Because this means Baker did not like him while he was there.
Oh, no, he hated him.
And it was very easy to tell during Hard Knocks whenever he asked Baker, like, what time you get here? Baker's like, hey, 8:07. He's like, what time's Tyrod get here? Like, 5. Well, you ever think about doing that? And Baker's like, no. That conversation was the one that I was like, oh, yeah, this is going to be, because he didn't. I don't think he got Baker. I don't think he wanted to get Baker, by the way. He wanted Baker to change as opposed to it. And Baker's just letting it eat right now.
I think it might be also, I also might just be mad at him because the only fan base that chirps me when the Steelers lose is the Browns. Not one other fan base.
I don't know why, Diggs. Have you heard yourself on this show?
Yeah. Well,
have you listened to the words that come out of your mouth?
When you haven't won for, I don't know, 70 years, that's on them.
So you just did it again.
That's on them.
You just continue to do it.
I got so many yesterday. Watch out for the Browns. The Browns are the king of the division now. No, you're in last fucking place in the division.
See, this might be why. I'm just, all these things that you say here might be why.
Rivers had 25 straight completions yesterday.
Hey, the one where he's rolling right for the touchdown, that literally looked like he threw that like Conor McGregor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He looked like he threw that like Conor McGregor, legitimately. And the check down, or somebody tweeted something, by the way, about Blake Bortles looking like they're throwing in like Conor McGregor, and Conor McGregor responded. He said that he could rip the crust off a pizza with his precision. It was something ridiculous. But Philip Rivers legitimately looked like Conor McGregor on that rollout throw, and it was a dime. Mm-hmm. I don't know how he does it.
They are not bad. The Chargers are not a bad team.
Next Sunday night is huge.
Who do they play?
Pittsburgh Steelers. That's right.
Where at?
Steelers.
Ooh. Every game for the Chargers is an away game. They don't have home games.
Melvin Gordon's out too, so it's all right.
I don't know. Maybe back-to-back losses for the Pittsburgh Steelers?
No, I would be. So the Denver road loss doesn't worry me because that's what they do. But if they did lose to the Chargers at home on primetime, that would actually worry me.
What is it, Sunday Night Football?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's going to be an awesome game. The Chargers every single year. Great team. Nobody talks about them. By their own faults, by the way. They decided to move to the City of Stars second.
Yeah.
Second. And the other team just so happened to get really hot at the same time. The Chargers are just like a forgotten team. They're like the Sacramento Kings of the NBA.
They really are.
The Chargers are the Sacramento Kings of the NBA. I have no idea that sometimes I forget that the Chargers exist. And then you just see these highlights of Philip Rivers just beating and slicing and dicing the fuck out of people.
25 in a row is a lot of completions.
I mean, I retired on a one completion streak.
Mm-hmm.
I retired
pretty
on that.
Pretty good.
Thank you.
Pretty good.
What have you done for me lately?
Correct.
Who's next? All those things. But then you see them on highlights every once in a while. They pop up. It's like, wow, the Chargers really good every fucking year. Mm-hmm. They seem to be good. And if they had a kicker, they'd probably win 3-4 more games.
Phil Rivers doesn't get nearly the amount of respect he deserves either.
Shout out to his bolo tie, too.
Yes.
I felt like him when I was playing.
Yep, because he's never won like a playoff game.
I know, but he's just, he's he, the... benchmark of consistency.
He beat the Colts in a game that Mike Seifers won the game for him, basically, because they pinned the Colts inside the five like 10 times. And Hunter Smith, I got drafted right after that game because I think Hunter Smith got kind of had bad setup every single time, and they beat the Colts in the playoffs. So I got drafted because of a punter, basically, and Phillip Rivers.
Well, he's the one quarterback, also the one quarterback in that draft class that doesn't have a Super Bowl.
That's true.
Wow.
He's also the one guy that plays on a team that nobody knows exists. Yeah. So.
They always have so many injuries, too.
They always
do. Malvin Gordon one, just adding to it.
Last of the day, the Bills ended Blake Bortles' career. Blake's done.
Why are you saying that?
Well, they announced today that Blake is no longer their starting quarterback.
Poor fucking Blake.
Who is it?
Yeah. Fired their offensive coordinator.
What's his name?
Is it Henny?
Cody Kessler.
Cody Kessler.
Oh. So this is another time for me to bring this up. Everybody hates hearing it. But Colin Kaepernick is still not on the team.
That's so true.
And who's starting for the Jaguars?
Cody Kessler. He wasn't good enough for the Browns.
Nobody is, by the way. They're hot right now. They're hot right now. I can't believe you took a shot at
them. Offense coordinator was fired in Jacksonville as well. Did you see the fight in that game, by the way?
No.
It was a decent one.
Oh, yeah. Hyde Fournette. Came in and knocked Fournette's helmet off, by the way. But if you're in a football fight, I've said this a couple times. There's been a few little scrums that came around on my kicking net, and a couple of people start going back and forth. The first thing I would do is grab my helmet and put that motherfucker on. I'm like, all right, I don't know what's going to happen, but if a helmet's available, a helmet is on. I put that thing right on. Hyde comes over and tries to break it up. His own teammate knocks Fournette's helmet off, and you see Fournette, as soon as that helmet comes off, it's like, oh, shit. And then he buries his head, and he tackled the guy and just held him down on the ground. And then I love that up in the tunnel. I love. There's just three little guys holding back that big monster. Mm-hmm. That's what he looked. It was. I loved it, man. I did see that. I absolutely loved everything about it. I seen it on my phone. I seen it on my phone. You see, and I'm a big fan of that. I love that. I like. There used to be fights in practice. I enjoyed them, man. It's a very physical. I don't like being in them.
I'll get
beat up. Mm-hmm. But if two guys have a problem with each other,
go ahead.
I'm okay with them wearing pads and fighting each other. And then afterwards in the locker room, if it's in the team, I'm definitely going to give a full breakdown aloud so that we all get back along. I don't know if Fournette and that guy will ever get along again. It seems as if that Lawson guy was not happy with Mr. Fournette.
I don't think so.
Fournette was waving at him while he was walking out. Fournette might be a motherfucking real one, by the way.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, I think he very much
is. He's looked 32 since like age 12.
LSU? He was at LSU looking like a goddamn look like the dean of the school. Running motherfuckers over, dude. That was fun.
That was pretty much it. And then last night, the Titans and Texans played.
Oh, the Texans get that big win there down at Reliant Energy Stadium in Houston, right?
Yeah.
The Titans look so good. And then the Texans were just able to pull it out there at the end.
By a field goal. They didn't cover, though.
Oh, really? Is that what happened? Deshaun played so well.
Pretty decently, yeah.
J.J. Watt with that incredible play that one time.
That was awesome.
Wasn't it Jadeveon Clowney also coming off the edge, kind of squeaked him by
there? Shout out Demaryius Thomas for getting his first touchdown as a Texan.
Also, Nuke.
Yeah.
Nuke had an incredible night, DeAndre. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know, the Tennessee Titans seem to really be clicking, and Vrabel seems to be making all the right decisions because he coached in Houston, remember? Yeah. So this is his return back. A little payback game. They made it a real dogfight down there, but... Monday night in Houston, it's going to be tough to beat the Texans there. That's what we saw.
Yep.
What if we were exactly right with
that? If we're not, we're gonna hear about it.
Yeah, sure. Get some tweets. Maybe you shouldn't do full analysis of games before you seal. Somebody got branded. Just know that. Incredible Shirley.
I enjoyed it.
What a day.
Talked to Jesse, the producer, said he had no idea what he was signing up for, gave a little behind the scenes of what it's like to call a real-life foosball game on the television. Talked all things you need to know about football. On Thursday, we have a massive guest coming on.
For really?
Massive guest. Tell your friends. Subscribe, rate, review. Tell them to do all these things. Hashtag Endgame, hashtag Endgame. Send us something that'll make Ty Schmidt smile because he's a miserable fuck right now. And on that note, this show is brought to you by Upstart. Upstart has revolutionized how we borrow money by going beyond the traditional FICO score to offer personal loans, taking into account factors like job experience and education when determining your interest rate. It's quick and easy. Checking your Upstart rate is free and has no effect on your credit score. Your Upstart rate check just takes 2 minutes, and if you're approved, you can get your funds as soon as the next business day.
Wow.
Upon approval.
Mm-hmm. Obviously.
Incredible.
Pay for just about anything. When you're approved for a personal loan with Upstart, the funds are yours and yours alone. Use them to pay off credit cards, consolidate debt, eliminate student debt, even make a large purchase. The choice is yours. Mm-hmm. See, yep. In college, I got a loan out to party.
Smart.
Two of them. Mm-hmm. True story. I was on scholarship, got a loan out to party. Two of them. You know what they did? The company I was on from.
Huh.
They gouged me on interest rates.
Obviously.
Completely screwed me over.
Classic.
Upstart does not do that. Nope. Upstart offers personal loans, but they're not like the bank or credit union provides. That's because Upstart goes beyond your FICO score when assessing your credit worthiness. Yep. They actually reward you based on your education and your job history in the form of a smaller interest rate, which is what you're looking for on loans.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The best part, once your loan is approved, funds will be transferred to you the very next day. Over 100,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards, fund their wedding, or simply make a large purchase. Now it's your turn. Hurry to upstart.com/heartland to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate only takes 2 minutes and won't affect your credit. That's upstart.com/heartland. Upstart.com/heartland. Hope you have an incredible November 27th. Ty Schmidt. With that fresh ass brand on a miserable man. I don't understand. Seems like it was God's plan. You sent up a prayer, but there was nobody there. 'Cause we singed your hair. Everybody take care. Ty Schmidt, hit the music.
Do you want me to actually put music behind it?
I'd like you to keep in your question there and then put music right now. All right,
sounds good.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring. Bound by wild desire, I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. Fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. The taste of love is sweet when hearts like ours meet. I fell for you like a child. Oh, but the fire went wild. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire, the ring.